Another photo revealed a surface-to-air missile assembly depot, a base to supply the offensive sites.
From deep inside the Cold War isolation of the mid-20th century, American music manages to slip behind enemy lines. American jazz on the radio, led by one man who would become more famous than any Cold War general.
Time for jazz. Willis Conover in Washington, D.C., with the Voice of America Jazz Hour.
That was incredible. I tell you, not only for me, but for millions of people around the world.
Valery Ponomarev was one of those millions of people living behind the Iron Curtain who planned their day around the Willis Conover Jazz Hour on Voice of America. While presidents in Moscow and Washington rattled their nuclear sabers, Conover's records each night wailed saxophone, big band, swing, and bebop, the sound of freedom for young Valery Ponomarev.
When I first heard jazz music, like real jazz music, I was blown away from this earth, you know, with the sounds of incredible Clifford Brown and Max Roach quintet. Can you imagine, like, to hear something like that for the first time? Jazz music was my music from that point on.
The VOA broadcast everywhere but the USA, and Willis Conover's audience made him one of the most famous radio personalities in the world, famous everywhere except the United States. And 40 years after his death, a postage stamp has been proposed to honor Conover's musical contribution to ending the Cold War, which spanned more than four decades. Valery Ponomarev was surprised when he eventually came to America in 1973 to see that there weren't giant posters and billboards of Willis Conover everywhere. The notes Valery plays on his own trumpet, he says, came from practicing what he heard on those original Conover Jazz Hour broadcasts.
The person who's solely responsible for advertising, for presenting such an incredible form of art as jazz music, born in the United States, is not known in his own country.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And how did you learn jazz from the Voice of America?
Here we go. Yeah. So I was swept away off my feet, you know, listening to that. And I raced around Moscow, which is a huge city, as you know, to look for jazz recordings. There were no recordings proper, like LPs. But on tapes were a lot. And shortly after, actually, lo and behold, you know, I bought some actual LPs on the black market. That was incredible to own, actually possess, you know, hard copy of LP. My first LP I got was Clifford Brown. Studying Brown. Beautiful. So, like many, many people around the world, millions of people around the world, you know, I was glued to my radio short band dial, and they were all extended from 7, all uneven numbers, through 31. I still remember myself sitting there and turning the dial.
That's
finding
the frequencies.
Finding the one which would be the best. So I had a huge, actually pretty good collection of music. And later when I finally was already in the States, I couldn't find some of the LPs I had on tapes. And from them I learned. You ask me how I learned. Here you go. You have your music. You have your paper. You have your ears. You have your pencil. You write it down. You analyze it. You practice it. You apply it to your own playing. And before you know it, you know, I was speaking actually the language of jazz without any accent. Yeah. Before I knew it.
Do you think Willis Conover knew what he was doing with his jazz music hour, that it was having such an impact among you and your friends?
I didn't know if he was aware what kind of impact he would be making. But in terms of playing right music, he definitely knew what he was doing. He was picking up, like, Duke Ellington, Art Blakey, Charlie Parker, of course, Coltrane, all the right people, you know? In that sense, he knew exactly what he was doing. But what kind of impact it would make on the world, I'm not sure if you knew it, but soon after, you know, it started to come back to the United States. People come from Eastern Europe, and where is jazz? People loved the United States because of jazz music. So jazz did a lot for America.
How big of an audience do you think he had?
Those programs, yeah. Voice of America?
Yeah.
Voice of America. Millions of people glued to the station at the hour when it starts. Glued. I would be in a hurry not to miss it.
And when you came to the States, did it surprise you that nobody had any idea who Willis Conover was?
Yes. Did. The story goes like this. I am in Washington at the concert in memory of Willis Conover. It was like his first anniversary of his death, or maybe second or so. And a lot of musicians, all coming from outside of the United States, all who grew up on that music, coming from that station, from that program. Yours truly. We're standing there, and I'm kind of warming up for the concert with my trumpet. So I'm warming up, right, getting for a jazz concert, only jazz musicians there. And I hear some kid or somebody trying to work out a stupid rock and roll lick on his alto saxophone. It totally didn't fit in the situation, you know. Maria Siliberti, lady who used to work in his office. I said, Maria, what is that? Oh, it's the guy he'll be playing at the concert. I said, what do you mean at the concert? This is jazz concert in memory of Willis Conover. She said, no, one of the producers wanted him at the concert. How? I said, well, if you only knew. I said, what? Willis Conover, all his professional life, was fighting off all these producers who used to push on him this nonsense or that nonsense or this nonsense.
Rock and roll.
Whatever nonsense it was, they used to push on him. He was fighting them off. No. I want to play Charlie Parker. I want to play Duke Ellington. I want to play Count Basie. I want to play The Messengers. I want to play
right.
Jastet. I want to play Art Blakey, and so on and so forth. And they kept on pushing on him. All his life, he was fighting off these people who actually tried to take him off the air. He really had to fight for his program. Imagine if it was not Willis Conover. Imagine it was somebody else who didn't have those firm convictions, who didn't really know enough about jazz music, but was appointed. Listen, play to the world something. They will like it. They will love our country, you know, or something.
History would have been different.
History would have been. Me, millions of people would have never been exposed to real sounds of America. Or would have been exposed much later. Anyway, just such a form of art, it would have persevered anyways, but much later, if not for Willis Conover. My life and millions of my contemporaries would have been definitely different.
Well, Larry, I can't imagine a better tribute to Willis Conover.
I owe it to Willis Conover, as millions of people around the world.
Valery Ponomarev is a Russian trumpeter who came to the United States from the Soviet Union in 1973. You can read more of Valery's story in his memoir, On the Flip Side of Sound.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.